Spring is here, it should be warmer, but it's cold again. Wow, the excitement of gardening can be suppressed for a reason. And spring flowers are blooming somewhere, but not yet fully in this part of the continent. Anyway, perennial gardeners may have been busy pruning their fruit trees while leaves and flowers start to appear. Last week, I pruned the fruit trees we planted last year, but not fully, but partially I pruned because I wanted to watch their flower bloom, and they are starting to break out. The reason I love to see flowers of the trees, it inspires something for the gardener. If you see flowers, you would be thinking of, wow, there must be some fruit coming out from here. And loving flowers from trees, it inspires us to see something wonderful that we just cannot control. It's the Lord who would control that. If He allows it to become fruit and ripen, we cannot do anything about that, but to do our part, to cultivate, to fertilize, to water, but the Lord will make something fruitful. Last year, I tried to take care of the apple we have in front of the building. There were fruit that I saw coming out, and then suddenly there was strong wind and everything was gone. So there are a lot of things that we cannot control in this world. Fruitfulness of our spirituality comes from the Lord too, but we also have part to obey and participate in the process. If you have planted fruit trees, you can personally understand when gardeners feel excited when their plants bear much fruit. Likewise, if God finds us fruitful, He loves it. He likes it. The Lord Jesus declared in John chapter 15, verse 5 to 8, let's read together. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. Now, can you go back to that verse 7 for a while? This passage, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. The first thing that would come to the mind of a secular person is to think of material things. That is the something that they would ask. And that is something that I had. This verse had been my favorite verse when I was a very new believer. And I tried. Okay, Lord, I would like to remain in you and I would like to ask something, but help me remain. And then I realized, how could I remain in the Lord? How could I be truth to the Lord so that whatever I ask, He would give? Many times I see that the things that I do, the Lord would not allow, or it would be shelved for a while or would be stopped. Then what I did was I go back to the seminary. This is why I went to the seminary many times, even after a graduation, because I thought that if I keep on studying the Word of God, I keep on learning more about God, the Lord would grant my heart desire. the desire that comes from Him, godly desire, because I know that my human desire is about material things, about the luxuries of this world, but most often He would not give it. Then I learned that to keep on trusting the Lord, to remain in Him, to keep growing in my faith, He would clearly show me the things that I would desire, the things that He had already prepared that I should desire. And I can tell you many things about that, but next time. The Lord appreciates fruitfulness. What kind of fruit? First, to be fruitful, making disciples. That's the first fruit that we do. Somebody asked me, how could you make disciples? I do not have time to lead the Bible study. Most of the time, when you think of making disciples, you look at the pastor. It's like, oh, we need to study the Word of God like pastor. No, it's not. The thing that we learn in the church are the principles, spiritual principles that we would apply in our daily activities. Now, if you're a student, the way you live your life as a student, the way you study, the way you make your assignments, the way you respond to your teacher, somebody might be observing you very closely, especially those kung mayroong crush sa inyo. Inoobserve kayo. Oh, I like that person. No, I'm not infatuated, but I like that person. He is really good. He is great. He's so diligent. If you are in a work, the way you respond to your boss, the way you do your work, the way you go to work, the way you go home, someone is observing you. Do you go to work late or do you go to work on time? Or do you go to work before time? Don't go to work on time. You miss it. You're already late. You come to, like for example, if your office hours 8, you go to the office, sit down there, it's 8. What do you do? Do you work immediately? No. Many times you're still preparing for many things. You're arranging your table if you're in the office. And many times we think that it's right. I pray that you would understand that going to work earlier than time is far better, blessed, than going to the work on time. Because the Lord is looking at you. It's not for your boss. It's for you, actually. Because the Lord would bless you even more in your heart, in your character. The thing that I will always encourage, pray for your boss. If your boss becomes prosperous, why? You were there, he might promote you to become the manager. How about that? The Lord knows it. The Lord would touch the heart of your boss that you are a caring person, caring for the company. And your boss may observe you, even if you don't know. He might have been observing you. The boss is always observing employees whom he would trust and whom he would promote. And it might be you. Because you go to work very early, you go home later. Oh, I need to punch my clock 5 minutes before time, or I will go out 5 minutes before time because my bus, if you are, or it's so traffic out there. I don't want to be late. Well, friends, you are missing your blessing. This is why there are a lot of employees complaining because they think they are shorthanded by their boss, but they miss it because they think kung kinupitan nila ang kanilang boss ay favor sa kanila. It's unfavorable. Kinukupit mo ang oras mo, it's not favorable to you. Why? Because your boss cannot prosper. If you help your company prosper, it's you who would prosper. The Lord appreciates fruitfulness. Quality of fruits may affirm good soil, also care, diligence of the gardener. God is the gardener. Christ is the vine. We are the branches of the vine. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the vine. How can we bear fruits that God appreciates? First and foremost, we need godly wisdom from heaven. Godly wisdom to be productive. Productive wisdom from heaven. Let's read again verse 17, the first part of verse 17. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Now that term pure, that is properly interpreted as holy, very clean, sacred, free from any defilement, ceremonially or ethically clean. It's a condition prepared for worship of God. It leads to worship of God. Purity is a prominent feature of wisdom from heaven. If it is wisdom from heaven, it should be pure, it should be clean, it should be sacred, and it comes from the perfect God. God is pure, God is holy. Wisdom from God is holy. Moreover, godly wisdom produces unity and orderliness. That is wisdom. The wisdom that gathers unity, promotes unity, promotes orderliness, that's wisdom from heaven. That is what we need to pray for our government, wisdom from heaven. For our government to have unity and orderliness in our city. Have you received godly wisdom? Have you? Who among us received godly wisdom? Would you raise your hand? Because you don't know what's godly wisdom. Yeah, that's why you are not very sure if you have received godly wisdom. Did you know that Christ is the wisdom of God? Did you know that? Now, memorize this. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Let's read 1 Corinthians 1, 24. To those whom God has called, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Can we repeat that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 24. To those whom God has called, Christ, the power of God in the wisdom of God. When we believe and accepted Christ into our life as our Lord and Savior, He saved us from anything that separates us from God. He reconciled us to God. Christ declared that He came for us to have abundant life, to have fullness of life, and we should allow Him to perform His lordship over our life. We should allow Him to perform His authority, His power over our life. And then, godly wisdom enables us to follow the path of godly righteousness. So when we are following that path of righteousness, that's the Lord Jesus working in our lives. That's godly wisdom working in our lives that leads, that path of righteousness leads to the fullness that Christ, fullness of life that Christ has promised. It's only the path of righteousness, godly righteousness, where we can follow that leads to that abundant life that Christ has promised to those who accepted Him. That is, if we follow Him diligently. In this chaotic world, in this distorted world, godly wisdom should prompt us to be more diligent in praying. It says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7, read this. I hope you can memorize this too. Also, seek peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. What is it that we pray for? Pray for the Lord for it. Pray for that prosperity and peace of the city. Why is peace and prosperity of the city a prayer item that we should consider or continue to pray for? Right. When we pray, what do you normally pray? We pray for personal interest, right? We pray for our anything that favors us, right? And praying for our city, praying for the government, praying for the law enforcers, praying for legislators, praying for judiciary would certainly be favorable to us. If our government govern diligently and responsibly, it favors us. Instead of complaining that the government is are not doing anything for our roads, daming lubak-lubak dyan, we have to pray that they may have that wisdom and diligence of making our roads safe to pass by. Law enforcers, sino po sa inyo yung nagda-drive na kapag nakakita ng police car ay medyo alert. Bakit kayo nag-alert? Dahil you might not want to be caught. Sayang naman yung 200, right? Pambili na lang ng kung ano dyan. Pambayad ng bills. Pray for law enforcers. If you keep praying, starting today, every day, pray for law enforcers. Each time you see a police car, you smile. Because you know that police officer would do the right thing. You expect that. And you feel peace. Hindi ka ninervyos. Subukan nyo. Kung nasubukan nyo na ninervyos ka, ano yung mga sinasabi ng mga kabataan sa police? Popo, popo, popo. Ayan, popo, ayan, popo. And ninervyos. Truly, I sensed that before. But when we keep praying, I smile every time I see police. Because I know the road is safer if the police is there. No, kukunti ang reckless drivers. You don't like those. It's summer again, right? In summer, and the fast cars, the fancy cars are coming out, and they will be the ones who are reckless drivers. Many fancy cars are reckless. Many drivers have fancy cars. Many reckless drivers like fancy cars because they can drive fast. And you don't like that if you are a very good driver, if you are a person who is careful driving. Now, where there's prosperity, if there's prosperity, there's peace. If there's peace, there's prosperity. Where there's peace, prosperity follows. Peace and prosperity, they are inseparable twins. They go together. Peace and prosperity. Do you believe that? Do you believe? Imagine the scenario when nations go to war against nation and there's happening somewhere around the globe. A nation attack a nation, and accordingly, Ukraine had already lost more than 1,000 educational buildings because of war. 1,000, more than 1,000, accordingly. I don't really know, but according to reports in the internet, you can go to the internet, how many educational institutions had been destroyed in Ukraine. No matter how prosperous one nation could be, when there is no peace and order, you would not like to live in that chaotic country, would you? You would rather want to be a refugee in Canada, right? If you're financially able, you would choose a peaceful neighborhood for your residence for sure, right? Where do you want to live? In the Philippines, if you want to live there. Do you want to live in Tondo or in Baguio City? I would rather be in Baguio City. But in Baguio City, there's no more place to live there. Daming tao. Have you considered how wonderful could have been to live in Israel in the time of King Solomon? How could that be? How to live in Israel in the time of King Solomon? The name Solomon is a variant of Hebrew term Shalom. Not Salom, Shalom, which means peace. The Lord assured King David that in the time of his successor, Solomon, his son of King David, Solomon, Israel will be peaceful. It says in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 9, let's read this together. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace and rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. His name will be Solomon, and I will grant Israel peace and quiet during his reign. Wow. It was God who made Israel peaceful in the time of King Solomon. He promised it. Of course, if he promised, he will do it. Indeed, there was nationwide peace and prosperity in the time of King Solomon. And it all started when he asked God for wisdom to perform his kingship responsibly. Now, that is something to remind us that if we pray for wisdom, godly wisdom from heaven, for our government official, if only God would bestow them godly wisdom of King Solomon. Never mind if they will become very rich as long as we have peace and prosperity in our country, it would be very great to live in this country. Now, there's shortage of infant formulas outside the border, and there are no problematic in that area. If that would happen here, that is very terrible experience. We experienced that in Canada. This is why instead of rallying against the government, instead of complaining against the government, pray. And pray also for those who are complaining that they may understand, they may come to know the Lord Jesus. That they would also join us praying. It's summarized in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 20 to 25. Let's read this together. A very short summary of the life of the people of Judah and Israel in the time of King Solomon. The people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They ate, they drank, and they were happy. And Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. These countries brought tributes and were Solomon's subject all his life. Solomon's daily provision, consider that. Solomon's daily provision were 30 cores of the finest flour and 60 cores of meal, 10 head of stall-fed cattle, 20 pasture-fed cattle, and 100 sheep and goats, as well as deer, gazelle, roebuck, and choice fowl. He ruled over all the kingdoms west of the Euphrates River from Tibsa to Gaza and had peace on all sides. During Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel from Dan to Beersheba lived in safety, everyone under their own vine and under their own fig tree. If you were in the countries in the Philippines, you like to sit down under a tree when it's so hot, right? Naidrip na lang siguro doon sa kanilang, isa ilan ng kanilang vines. That was what I imagined. Now, that 30 cores of finest flour is approximately 5.5 metric tons. And 60 cores of meal is approximately 11 metric tons. And that were the daily provision for his household. Well, bakit? Well, he had 1,000 wives. He sure had many children. If one wife had one child, then that is already 2,000, right? And every wife, there's servant, and that's already 3,000, right? And every wife, there's guard, and that's already 4,000 in his palace. He was feeding more than 4,000 individuals in his household. That was why he needed to feed them with 5.5 metric tons of finest flour, 11 metric tons of daily provision, and not to mention those 30 heads of cattle, 100 sheep and goats, deer, gazelle, roebucks, choice fowl. Wow. Every day, that is, how about those the cook, the servants, and those who serve. It's not, so it's more than, if I would estimate it, maybe 7,000 to 10,000 people that he fed every day. How rich Solomon was that he could have that provision every day. So think about that. If somebody was richer than Solomon, those billionaires, how many people are they feeding every day? What do you think? They gave them salary, but I don't think if they have 100 people, maybe they have security guards, servants, but not many servants. So nobody could be richer than King Solomon. Certainly God made Solomon wise and rich. If God was able to make Solomon wise and rich, wealthy, he can easily sustain our needs. Now that picture of Solomon providing for his household, that is a picture, practical picture of God providing for his family. That is a very simple illustration how the Lord provides for our needs. Can you imagine how happy the Israelites were in the times of King Solomon? Because there was no war. There was peace. No confusion. No rallies. Why would they rally? They were satisfied. They just going under their vine, under their fig tree. Everyone was satisfied. Likewise, it is far glorious to worship God in a church, in a congregation where everyone can sense that peace in their heart. Do you sense peace? At the Maples Evangelical Church, can you sense that? Peace is a very overwhelming experience that exceeds, that surpasses comprehension, the peace that comes from God. We just cannot understand, we just cannot explain it with our words. That's peace from God that we need. Pray for that, that godly peace. It declares in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, let's read together. In the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Transcends means exceeds, surpass. It surpasses understanding. It means we just cannot explain fully, maybe partly, but not fully. Partially we can explain, but we cannot explain fully because it surpasses, but it will guard our hearts so that we don't grow hatred. It guards our minds so that we just cannot think of rebellion or anything. Godly peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the peace. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's godly peace that surpasses understanding. This is why we must make sure that we follow the teaching of Christ, so that we may sense that godly peace from him. Purity is supreme attribute of godly wisdom. And peace-loving, that's wisdom. Peace-loving or peacefulness. There's gentleness, there's compliance. Compliance means not rallies, not strike. There's mercy. it's merciful. Goodness, it produces goodness. We do goodness instead of doing not appreciable, unfavorable things, unpleasant things. There's fairness. In this time, you can easily hear many young people say, unfair, unfair. That is the favorite word of many young people. Unfair. Tell your children, pray for godly wisdom, that they may have that fairness, honesty, sincerity. It reveals the present, the active presence of Christ, the wisdom of God in us. Let's read again verse 17, second part. Then peace, loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere. That's godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is first of all pure, and then peace-loving, that's peaceful. Considerate, that's submissive or compliant, full of mercy, merciful. It produces good fruits, it's honest and sincere, impartial. You have fairness, impartial. It's not instinctive to follow godly instruction, actually. We do not. But when pure godly wisdom is functional in our life, and we have that godly wisdom, we can be peaceful. That's what we want to promote. We can be considerate, even when others are not. We can be compliant, submissive. It doesn't mean that because your boss says, you go and strike that person. No, that's not what we are talking about. Compliance means you follow the path of righteousness. Comply with the righteous things. Those are the things that we are talking about here. And merciful. We can be merciful for when there are unmerciful people. We can bear good fruit of undivided sincerity and honesty. We always hear people say honesty is best policy. Others say honesty is the only policy. It starts with godly wisdom to have honesty. We just cannot do it on ourselves because we are not honest people. Instinctively, we are not. And we can be harmonious as well. Harmony. Harmony among Christians does not necessarily mean we always agree with in everything. That's not. Harmony is something that we can have peace. Of course, we can be honest and agree to disagree. Now, disagreement should not cause us to hate each other. Everyone has preference of taste. You like coffee, but somebody do not like to have their sugar. Someone want double-double. Others want triple-triple. So that was why those coffee shops gives you whatever you wish. It's not every time double-double, although they would ask you sometimes. You have preference of color, music, genre. Young people may prefer faster music, while older citizens prefer slower tempo. You may prefer to wear, look at you. You have different, you wore different colors, right? I prefer to wear, what's this, orange today, but I also wear pink, I also wear green, red, orange, blue, white, black, gray. Now, if everyone wears the same shade or the same tone, if everyone wears all white or everyone wears all black, that would attract attention. We all wear black or white. Observers may think, I think that the church is a cult. Or no, maybe they have funeral service always. I don't know. But not everyone have the same taste bud, right? I prefer to prepare food with less salt. If my family wants it, they can add salt to their taste. So similarly, we agree to disagree and still have a harmonious relationship. Would that be good? God will bless us for sure. And pure godly wisdom would enable us to prefer peaceful harmony and reject conflict. This is why the maintenance committee advised us to join that survey for the signage that would limit complaint in the future. There was the last issue that had been instrumental for unsatisfied individuals that created confusion in this church is the amendment of the church constitution and bylaws. Our church leaders are preparing for the amendment of our constitution and bylaws. So pray about it. You might be selected to join the ad hoc committee. When the pandemic had erupted, our church leaders have observed that there are several issues that caused necessary adjustment in our church activities. And amendment of the church constitution and bylaws may address some of those issues for us to have constitutional basis of our church activities. Additionally, it may limit any confusion in the future. To have that constitution amended would be beneficial to every one of us. And this is a challenge for us to test. If godly wisdom is functional in our life, can we have peaceful, considerate, compliant, and merciful? Can we be peaceful? Can we have good, impartial, sincere, and honest attitude toward each other? Many times, honesty is really tough. But don't force it. Don't force. What you want to force is to have that godly wisdom functional in your life, and it will follow. It will follow. Pray for God's help for us to be fruitful. Remember what our Lord Jesus declared in John 15:16. Let's read. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Now, that's the secret of asking God, praying for having answered prayers, when you are bearing much fruit. So ask the Lord to enable you to bear fruit, and when you ask, the Lord would give you whatever you ask in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit of the Lord had regenerated and motivated us to believe and trust Him. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Christ chose us to believe in Him. It's not us who chose Him. Christ chose us because He expects us to be fruitful. He expects fruitfulness from us. Why is it? Why does Christ want us to be fruitful? He saved us to be fruitful because unfruitfulness is a horrible situation in eternity. It's a very horrible situation. The Lord Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 13, verse 6 to 9. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. He went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. It's my prayer that everyone that the Lord allows to attend in this church will be fruitful. Will be fruitful. But first, make sure that godly wisdom is functional in your life. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment time is coming near. I hope those who are predicting that the coming of the Lord Jesus will be in 3 years, that would happen, although I'm not very sure. You may believe or ignore it, but we cannot avoid it. Judgment day is not dependent upon opinion. It had been declared in eternity. And the Lord is always observant. He often inspects our lifestyle. If we are fruitful or not yet, He has already prepared reward for fruitful lifestyle. So make sure you will gather a harvest of righteousness. Make sure of that. Let's read verse 18. Peacemaker who sow in peace reaps a harvest of righteousness. Now, that's one thing to aspire for. Be a peacemaker, not causing confusion. How are you updating your social media? Might cause confusion or might cause peace. Peaceful unity among believers is imperative, but it's evasive. It's not easy. We want to have peace, but confusion spoils the fun. It has been a struggle to maintain peace in our generation, in this generation. In this generation where everyone wants his, her right. Likewise, confusion may have been a reality even among the first century Christians. In the past, there were false teachers who caused confusion in the church. And it will happen again, for certain. Make sure that godly wisdom is functional in your life so that you would not be confused, so that you would rather follow righteous path instead of playing blame games. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, let's read together. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, we need to regularly drink our spiritual milk so that we grow spiritually mature. Instinctively, non-believers, our natural self, we want to be gratified with things that we are instructed to reject. The things that we are instructed to reject are the things we want to gratify ourselves, want to follow. We are instructed to get rid of ourselves, of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. And like newborn babies, we should crave for spiritual milk. The very basic food of infant is milk. New believers in Christ are spiritually infants. And like babies, newly born again Christians should crave pure spiritual milk. Now, that is, you know, if you have been born again, if you are craving for spiritual milk. When an infant is born, that infant would cry for milk. Well, what actually is spiritual milk for spiritual infants? What are spiritual milks? What is your idea? Spiritual milk for born-again Christians, infants, are the very basic doctrines, the very basic belief about God, about salvation, about church, about sin, about those things. You can easily read through our constitution and bylaws and our church members' handbook, and you will find there the basic doctrines that we teach here, and fundamental elementary principles of godly righteousness, and we can find that in the Lord's word, the scripture. The Lord instructed. Whatever the Lord had instructed for us to do in the Bible, those are very basic. Now, if you are resisting those basic instructions of the Lord, you are resisting your spiritual milk. Well, you are saying, I'm dieting, Lord, spiritually. I don't know. As children of God, we crave for spiritual food. We desire, we want to know. We want to practice righteous lifestyle of God's children. This is why when we sometimes we do something terrible, we have that conscience. We become conscientious. That's the Holy Spirit working in us. We want to make it right. Have you sensed that? If you sense that, being conscientious, you are growing in your spiritual life. Follow that up. Keep on doing what is right. Thirst and hunger for spiritual food, it signals spiritual life. If you are hungering for spiritual food, spiritual righteousness, if there's no craving for righteous lifestyle, listen carefully. If there's no craving for righteous lifestyle, there is a spiritual problem. When an infant do not eat food for a day, there's problem. Listen carefully, children, how your mothers, fathers, parents have been sacrificing for you so that you may understand not to complain so much. Did you know that almost every 2 hours, every day, your parents were attending to you because you cry for milk? Some of you may have been crying more often. Every night, hindi pa nakakaidlip yung isa, gising ka na naman at umiiyak ka na naman ng gatas mo. Alam nyo ba yon, mga kabataan? This is why it's so strategy. They have to have a strategy on how they get their sleep. Paano matutulog ang parents kung laging every 2 hours may umiiyak? That's tough for them. But now you have grown up and kunting kamali ng inyong parents, minamaliit nyo ang inyong parents dahil mas matangkad na kayo. Literally. You are looking down sa kanyang puyo. Hey, mother, hindi kailan ka ba lalaki? If infants don't cry, how can we know that infants are hungry? Hunger and thirst can affect everyone. Physically, mentally, psychologically, relationally, and spiritually. Mayroong nag-aaway dyan dahil nagugutom na yung isa. Are you hungry? A very hungry and thirsty person, if you really are very hungry, you want to stop whatever you are doing, however important that activity you are doing, you want to stop and eat and drink, right? Spiritual hunger and thirst, you crave also for spiritual satisfaction. What the Lord Jesus Christ declared will happen, He declared in Matthew 5, verse 6. Let's read. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, here is a suggestion. You want to be blessed. You want to be blessed. Blessedness is extreme happiness. This is a glorious happiness, glorious cheerfulness. Blessedness is the term for that. Whatever you do and you feel like you're blessed, there's that joy inside you. Go through the Bible in Matthew chapter 5. You read through the blessed, and pray that you would be able to do that. And you sense that blessedness in your life. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty spiritually? When we practice godly righteousness, we sense blessedness. We grow spiritually. We earn eternal treasure. Now, do infants earn money? Well, yung mga classified ads, patalastas, they earn, maybe. They don't even know that they are earning. But if you are an owner of a manufacturing company, would you employ an infant? Actually, most employers prefer applicants who are experienced and reliable in their chosen field. Likewise, when we drink spiritual milk regularly, we practice godly righteousness as lifestyle. We grow spiritually mature, and that is when we earn our eternal treasure. Infant, kung ikaw ay kinamit sa patalastas ng baby formula, if you want that kind of lifestyle, then remain as infant, but you cannot really earn and know how you would earn eternal treasure. It had been decreed, this is something terrible or wonderful or exciting, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. Let's read this together. Read carefully. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God, holy people. That her, that pronoun her, is the church, the God's holy people. And fine linen is the righteous acts of God's holy people. That is what we wear. Now, just imagine. There was this believer and a wife, they were passing by, maybe somewhere in Pulo Park or Garden City or I don't know, St. Vital. And they passed by a popular apparel store. And the wife glanced at the apparel store. Look, 20% discount. But the insensible husband responded, which one has 20% discount? The price or the apparel? Makaalisin yung laylayan ng damit mo? Makaalisin yung 20% sa laylayan? I don't know. Then suddenly the spiritual question flashed in his mind about that fine linen that God's holy people may wear in heaven. If you have done much righteous acts, you have done much righteousness, will it affect the length, the size of the fine linen you wear in heaven? How about if you did lesser act of righteousness, will it be miniskirt linen to wear in heaven? Sino sa inyo nag-isip na mag-wear ng miniskirt in heaven ng linen? David challenges us to aspire and crave for blessedness. Here's something that you can also look into. Psalm 34, verse 8 to 16. Let's read this. Meditatively, let's read this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His holy people. For those who fear Him lack nothing. The lion may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil, your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from earth. That's very wonderful. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. You continue to do right. The Lord is watching over you, keeping you safe, providing for your needs, sustaining whatever you need so that you would continue to do righteous things. Do you have reverent fear of the Lord? Do you desire to learn from the scripture? Do you practice righteous lifestyle? Those are some basic spiritual principles for godly citizens of heaven, children of God. Are you born again spiritually? Are you spiritual infant? Are you spiritually mature or spiritually dormant? Do you crave for spiritual nourishment? You do, you are here. Do you regularly meditate on God's word? If you do, you are blessed. So pray sincerely, pray for stronger faith. Pray for godly wisdom and godly understanding. Learn skillfully, practice godly lifestyle of righteousness. You'll earn eternal treasure. Shall we stand up and let's pray.